Well, good morning on this special 4th of July holiday, and boy, we got so many things to be thankful for, and one of them is just a friendship of Cameron Taylor. I bumped into one of your books a few years ago and just loved it, and saw your contact information, and I happened to be driving through eastern Idaho where you lived and asked if I could meet with you, and we've become dear friends since then, and I really like your stuff. You got a good heart, and I think it'd just be so appropriate to have you share some of your thoughts and feelings about the 4th of July to just inspire us and help us to remember the wonderful heritage that we have. So, Cameron, I'm just going to turn it over to you, and thank you for spending some time with us.
All right. My comments will be brief, about 10 to 15 minutes. And to keep them concise, I have written down my thoughts and impressions as I did ponder on what the Lord would have me share this morning. And as we begin, I would ask that we would each pray. One, a prayer of gratitude for the many who have gone before us and have sacrificed for the freedoms we now enjoy, but also to pray that we may have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive the Spirit and be taught by divine providence as I do share a few stories from the founding of this great nation. We'll start on July 4th, 1776, as Congress assembled in the Pennsylvania State House, which is now Independence Hall in Philadelphia, to decide whether or not to officially accept the Declaration of Independence, which reads in part, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in general Congress, assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world, for the restitute of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." As the Congress was assembled, an elderly man ascended to the steeple to be in place to ring the bell, and a young boy was placed at the door of the hall to give him notice when the vote should be concluded. The old man waited long at his post and had his doubts, saying, "They will never do it. They will never do it." The signing of the Declaration of Independence was a solemn act and required great firmness and patriotism and courage. It was treason against the government of Great Britain, an offense that was punishable by death. At the signing, Benjamin Franklin is quoted as having replied to a comment by John Hancock that they must all hang together, saying, "Yes, we must indeed all hang together, or we most assuredly shall all hang separately." This play on words suggested if they failed to stay united and win the revolution, they would surely each be tried and executed individually for treason. As those gathered discussed the methods of Great Britain to execute the guilty of treason, they discussed the method of hanging. They also discussed the method of placing the traitor's head on a block and chopping it off with an axe. As they were discussing the fate of a traitor, a man rose and began to speak. No one in the room recognized the man or was able to identify who he was. After the event, some stated they believed it to be an angel. The words are recorded as the speech of the unknown. I will read a portion of that speech that was given. on July 4, 1776, as they were gathered to sign the Declaration of Independence. The words of that parchment can never die. They may pour our blood, and yet from every drop that dies the axe or drifts on the sawdust of the block, a new martyr to freedom will spring into birth. These words will go forth to the world when our bones are dust. To the slave in the mines, they will speak hope. To the mechanic in the workshop, freedom. And shall we falter now? And shall we stand back appalled when our feet press upon the very threshold of freedom? Sign. If in the next moment the rope is around your neck. Sign. If in the next moment this hall rings with the echo of the falling axe. Sign. By all your hopes in life or death, as husbands, as fathers, as men, sign your name to the parchment or be accursed forever. Sign, and not only for yourself, but for all ages. For that parchment will be the textbook of freedom, the Bible of the rights of man forever. Sign, for that declaration will go forth to American hearts forever and speak to those hearts like the voice of God. This continent is the property of a free people, and their property alone. God, I say, proclaims it. I see the recording angel, weeping as an angel can weep, who comes trembling to the throne of God and speaks this dreaded message. Father, the old world is baptized in blood. Father, it is drenched with the blood of millions, butchered in war and persecution and slow and grinding oppression. Father, look, with one glance of thine eternal eye, look over Europe, Asia, Africa, and behold, evermore, that terrible sight, man trodden down beneath the oppressor's feet, nations lost in blood, murder, and superstition, walking hand in hand over the graves of their victims. And not a single voice to whisper hope to man. He stands there, the angel, his hands trembling, with the black record of human guilt. But hark, the voice of Jehovah speaks out. Let there be light again. Let there be a new world. Let my people, the poor, the trodden down millions, go out from the old world to build my altar in the new. As God lives, my friend, I implore you to remember this truth. God has given America to be free. I would beg you to sign that parchment in the name of the God who made the Savior who redeemed you, in the name of the millions whose very breath is now hushed in intense expectation as they look to you for the sublime words, you are free. The man left the room. Those who record the events of the speech, but they did not recognize the man. And yet they all recognize the power of his message and the divine moment of history that stood before them. And after this speech, the declaration was signed and unanimously adopted. The word was then given to the young boy who stood outside the door, and he clapped his hands for joy and shouted to the man set to ring the bell. And the young boy called out, "Ring, ring." And the elderly man curled the iron tongue of the bell back and forth 100 times, proclaiming liberty to the land and to the inhabitants thereof. The Declaration of Independence was signed, but the battle for freedom was just beginning. 7 years remained in the fight for freedom. The Revolutionary War was one of the longest wars in our history, lasting 8.5 years. 1% of the population sacrificed their lives in the glorious cause of America. If we were to fight for our independence today, and the war was equally costly, there would be more than 3 million of us killed. How blessed we are to live in a land of liberty, freedom, and independence. We are among those millions whose eyes did watch in hushed, intense expectation from the heavens as they did sign that divine document, the Declaration of Independence, and following the war, the Constitution of the United States. And now here many years following those events that established our freedom and our independence as a nation, there are some who are willing to sell their liberty and freedom for a bowl of pottage, for a bowl of government assistance. There are others who sell their freedoms, the bond of eviction, and there are others who sell their freedom for the short-term pleasure of something now and place themselves into the bondage of debt. The keys for our freedom to be perpetuated for us and for those millions of eyes that now look upon us as the stewards of freedom is the important call to continue to teach and proclaim the principles of independence and freedom. The great Mahatma Gandhi, as he sought to free the nation of India from the rule of Great Britain, he did teach them simple principles of independence. At the time, it was illegal for them to make their own salt, and all salt had to be bought from Great Britain. And so in an effort to help them establish a mindset of independence, Gandhi had them make their own salt and start to become independent of the dependence of Great Britain. Another story that I love was that Gandhi, in an attempt to become independent of the barber, as he said, I no longer want to be dependent on the barber, so I made an effort to cut my own hair. And the next day as he went into the courtroom, the people laughed because he had cut his hair so poorly. And one of the gentlemen said, Gandhi, what happened? Rats get in your hair last night? And Gandhi said in response, I would rather have a poor haircut and be independent than have a good haircut and be dependent on another. And with these simple acts, he began to transform a nation and freed millions from the rule of Great Britain. And just as Gandhi taught independence to those in India by having them make their own salt and cut their own hair, so we can teach people independence by helping them build their own business. The American dream is alive and well. This is the land of freedom. This is the land of opportunity. God has given America to be free. God wants you to be free. I pray God's blessing upon you and upon each of the great states of the United States of America. And I do so in the name of Him who is our source of liberty, in the name of Him who frees us from bondage, in the name of Him who is the author and finisher of our faith, in the name of Him who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Cameron, thank you, thank you. May we always appreciate and ever be vigilant and faithful, and God bless America, and God bless you, and thank you for sharing. Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful day with your friends and your families. Love to all of you. Thanks again, Cameron.
Thank you.